There's one man, he's a pathologist. I heard so much about him before I went. So I used to go visit him once in a while. One of the things that struck me about him is that I look on his shelf, I don't find no books. So I just told myself, this man is a dangerous pathologist. I was trained by teachers that taught me that a dangerous pathologist if you don't have books. There's another pathologist a little younger than him, also, old man now, above 60. That one, when I go to his office, and he just came back from abroad, so we'll be talking. Anytime he travels, he comes with a new book. This is the latest bloodstains. I got it when I went for that conference in Ontario, you know. So he guards it jealously. There was a time he had some issues with the management of that place. So you know the first thing he did? Evacuated his books. He kept on coming to work, but he evacuated all his books, took it home. So I don't know what you want to do tomorrow. If you just come here and have this place locked, I'm not going to lock my books, you know, that kind of thing. So that is, he loved his books so much, I didn't have the guts to ask to borrow any one of them. Because I said, at my age, if I'm borrowing his book, if I should think it, that go and buy your own. So if I get to his office, we'll sit down, I pull out the book, we'll look at it together. Yeah, this is the, okay. One day I brought a slide for him to help me look at. I said, well, I think this is a large cell lymphoma. Let's check. That's it. He just opened the shelf, pulled out the newest book on lymph node pathology he had, and began to read. After a while, he showed me that he was right. He said, Orimikwe, that is, he used to be saying about it. He was an Igbo man, you know. He knows I'm Yoruba, so I said, Orimikwe, that is, my head is very correct. That is, the book confirmed that he was right. This man, at that time, had a 34-year experience doing that job. He had done the job that day, we're speaking, for 34 years. Yet, he will go to a book to see whether he's right. The other man entered his office. One day I came with a book. I came to his office, the other one. He said, which book is that? I said, it's the latest Akama. I said, okay, do they cite my work? Do they cite my work? Well, I looked at him. I said, this man cannot be corrected at this age. So I just left him. I stopped going to see him. Listen, I don't need to check his work. He has been deceiving a lot of people. They didn't realize it. I do that job, and I know very well. They said, this is the saying in it. They said, pathology with books is difficult. Without books, it is impossible. That's the way it said. Making tissue diagnosis, making calls of life and death for people. They say it's difficult with the books. The rule, if I find my prof in Lagos then, he said, you people are high-powered pathologists. He's a professor. We are small, small boys just learning. He said, I enter your office. I see you holding over your microscope. I look on your left and your right. I can't find any book. What do you think you're doing? Now, he's a professor. And he's looking at us like, what do you think you're doing? You call this pathology? That you're looking at this light. I look on your left, look on your right. I can't find anything. That he expects that if you're walking, books should surround you. You look down his light, you bring a book, you read a paragraph, continue your work. And they understand it. So when I got to a place where a man said that, he thinks things are in his head. I just said, I don't care how old you are. I don't think, you know, I've been this academic thing. I know becoming a professor doesn't mean anything. No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean you are smart. Don't let the title professor impress you. That's the job I do. All right? It's half of it. Just means you've written something and published it. That half doesn't mean you know what is inside the thing you published. A lot of people who publish, they don't think. I'm not joking. I don't mean to demean the profession, all right? Being a professor means you have published. It's supposed to imply that you have done research, actually. But in our country today, the Lord is good. That's all I can say. What I'm trying to emphasize is the fact that what makes you a good preacher is, first of all, that you are a student of the word. Not that you are preparing sermons. You know, a lot of preachers, what they do is to prepare sermons. So when you give him a topic to preach, he looks for concordance. He's using words he's never heard before. He's preaching tomorrow. Today is the one that is learning the word for the first time. And the man in the pulpit said, I found out that the word for redemption is ex agorazo. Ex means out of, agora is market. And it means, itself, when you are hearing, you are tired. You are tired. You know now, you are tired. He just prepared this sermon. It didn't come from, it's an academic presentation, yes. It didn't come from inside him. It's not there. Why? Because he was not eating this thing before that day. Of course, not everybody does the way I do. You know, don't put things. A lot of people use notes. And nothing wrong with notes. Nothing wrong with it. It depends on your own style. I'm just trying to say that it is not when they give you a topic, you now start researching to find out the truth you are going to preach on it. No, it's too late to discover truth. It's too late. It is too late. There are topics you give me to preach, and I just say simply, I don't know. I say, okay, please, sir, I want you to talk. Although, as a preacher, that's another thing. Let me tell you a trick. Any topic they give you, you will say what you like. I hope you know that. And nobody's Bible, we don't read down well. If they say, let's talk about the second coming of Christ. Ah. So, people are expecting to hear the date and the time. Whether it is now. It's very simple. Before I would say, I don't want that topic. This is, I go accept them. Because I'm the ministry, it's not the topic. I hope you understand that. It is what the oil, you see, it's what you see in me that you want to. I'm not going to study for you. Again, that's by the way. I'm not studying for anybody. No. Let me just quickly drop that one. As a preacher, I'm not studying for you. You can't fit your topic and I'll fit into your topic. You fix your topic, I'll come and fit into it. No. Your topic has to fit into my life. If it doesn't, my life overrules it. Yes. If you say that we are talking about boys and girls, the principle of relationships, no problem. I will get there. Most of the time, I won't accept your invitation. But in case I do, no problem. Boys and girls, praise God. The principle of relationship, the first and most important relationship before we can relate as members of the opposite sex and into marriage is relationship with God. Now, God in Christ Jesus. Now, the purpose for your life, I've reached my own. I've started talking about the purpose of boys' lives, the purpose of girls' life, how to connect with the Spirit as I preach my message. When I now finish, I say, when you do this, you will marry a good wife, you will marry a good husband. And I will leave. And listen, it has never happened that the people are not blessed. It has never happened that they don't come saying, thank you, sir. It has never happened that they are not falling all over me, sir. Oh, God, thank you for coming, thank you for coming, even though I don't address their topic. I went to preach and said, maximize your potential. I knew what they wanted to hear, but that's their problem. That's not what I wanted to preach. The Sunday service, an Anglican church in Enugu, maximizing your potential. I said, praise God. The most important potential we have to maximize is to be like Christ. That's it. I don't reach my message. I said, we all have the potential to be exactly the image of God. Not many of us have acquired it. They thought I was talking about your potential and how to be successful in school. I said, not lie. My own today is maximizing your potential of Christ-likeness. I don't reach my topic. How the word works in you, how it builds you up. Because actually, you are, it's the kind of oil I conduct. How to read book, go and call somebody else. The kind of oil that me I conduct is what I produce everywhere I go. You cannot use your topic to sway me. One day, my wife was given a topic to preach on. You cannot curse what guest, God. You cannot bless what God has cursed. The idea is Malachi chapter 3. I said, well, you know you'll be my wife. I know how you go take preacher. If you are not obeying God in your life, there's a curse working there. That's it now. You cannot bless what God has cursed. Eh? Obedience to the word of God is the first source of blessing. Praise God. You can't disobey God. To obey is better than to sacrifice. Many of us are giving offerings to collect blessing and we are denying God in other areas of life. You cannot bless what God has. No, don't preach my own. Look, I read your topic anyway, you like it. Now, the one where I won't preach, there I go preach. Yes, the one that I was created to channel that one. You can't come and tell me, when I've been made to transport natural gas, you want to put this inside me. You didn't look for Wahala. Do you understand? If I'm supposed to carry petrol, you don't put natural gas inside there. You have to, if you can't turn the thing to liver. A lot of us don't realize it. There was the topic they gave you. He said, I should come and talk on on how to find a good wife. Do you know anything about it? I don't know. There's no wahala. I'm counting. I'm telling you now, it's not bad. You just go there, say the thing. It's hard to find a good wife. Praise God. Today I've been told to talk on how to find a good wife. I just realized that a bad man can never find a good wife. So let me tell you about how to be a good man. Abi? Since you know that one, you preach that one. Forget, people, once they are blessed, they are blessed. They will find that topic another day. Once they are blessed, they are blessed. So I tell you, don't preach. Eh? You say? Which is true. Because the Holy Spirit work, you'll be surprised. And then the thing is that everybody has different issues. Why he's not finding a good wife is different from why the next guy is not finding a good wife. So, what am I trying to explain? So, we don't need to start studying to discover new truths you want to preach tomorrow. First of all, the minister is a student, is a disciple. Constantly and continuously, he or she is feeding on the word of God. Again, let's get practical. You should read all the time. First of all, forget about preaching. That's what I'm talking about today. Be concerned about being preached to. Are you getting my point? Every man that has come into this world has an assignment that God has told him to do. And I think it's Derek Prince in his book, Rediscovering God's Church, that he said something. There are those, he was talking about different teachers of the Word of God, you know. He said there are those who, that the teaching ministry, that there are those who just minister in small assemblies. That you find them a lot. It's a ministry also. A lot of them are part-time ministers. They're in churches. They maybe handle a Bible class. They do it faithfully, and they're good. He said, but there are those that God sent to teach the whole body of Christ. That is, it's not just a local church. They teach, let's take a few examples, like Kenneth Hagin will talk about now, Miles Morrow, as I want to talk about. That God sent them to preach to everybody. They are not just localized in one area. Uh-huh. Now, this is what I want to say. Each one of those people, especially when you've heard of them, there is something that God said they should go and tell you. I didn't say tell the whole body of Christ to, but you. Now, let me say this. I believe strongly, as a preacher today, my number one person I recommend his materials is Kenneth Hagin. He has more instructions for preachers than anybody else I have personally read. And those are the books that speak directly to preachers that I listed in that recommendation just now. He never came to Africa apart from South Africa, I think. He was in South Africa once or twice, I don't know, once. And I'm not sure, he didn't come to any other part of Africa. He preached his message, I learned it. Never met him personally. I have a lot of his audio messages. I've read all his books, all, every single one, apart from Daily Devotionals. That's is it Faith Something for Spring? Got all those daily devotionals. There's no other book he wrote I did not read. None. I've been saying this for years and I've not seen any other one. Every book he put on paper, every word he put on paper, I read. Some of them I have read 20 times. Some I'm sure up to 50 times. Books like I Believe in Visions. I just read it all the time. I just pass, I just collect it again. I start reading it again. If I say this, it's going to make you laugh. Sometimes, I'm going to the toilet and say, oh, who's stay with me in the toilet now? Ah, can Hagin come now? You know, go mind. That's one chapter. I'm telling you. I read it all the time. There are people like that. Miles Morrow, if you see Miles Morrow's life has been, is a worldwide ministry. I've identified three messages. First, it came with the issue of potential. Then it came with the issue of purpose. Then it came with the issue of the kingdom. You can't tell me you're a minister. You've not read Miles Morrow on this thing. It's not right. It is actually wrong. It's actually bad. A bad thing is a bad thing. Can't tell me you're a preacher. You say, okay. This is when you talk to preachers. You know Miles Morrow? Is he not that guy from Bahamas? I could like a go slap. Can you die? The preacher is, first of all, a student. Paul said something. He said, we're comforted in our afflictions so that we can comfort those who are similarly afflicted with the same comfort with which we were comforted. This is what I'm making. If you have not been taught, you cannot teach somebody else. Do you understand that? You must be taught. You must be taught. The title pastor, look, once you reach your own house, drop it. You are not a pastor in your house. I hope you know that. You're a student in your own library. If I want to come down like that, you're not a pastor again. That pastor thing is only when you are teaching. Once you come out for there, forget that title. You are constantly a disciple. You must be learning all the time. All the time. All the time. All the time. And there's nothing like, I don't like the, I don't like white preachers. There's nothing like that, though. There's nothing like that. The one I say all the time, I give as an example, is one man who I know, that is this man, he preached that message in the 60s, so you can understand, called White Texan, all right? You abuse black people like this, eh? That these black people are primitive, I know, that's an insult. So I'll tell my wife, look at what he's saying. After I pointed to my wife a few times, that the man, they insult all of us. Then that's one. Then secondly, is using some hard words, big English. I tell my wife said, look, why are you listening to him now with all these complaints you have against the man? And I said, there are things that only him knows. Is that there are things that he's the only one that knows. I mean, I can't get to heaven now. God said, Banky, this is one part of ministry he didn't do very well. I said, Lord, I've been trying. He said, no, you didn't get that one well. And you understand that. What helps you succeed is the word that's been built in your heart. All right? And he said, why didn't I do it well? Because I didn't know something. I said, but Lord, I didn't know that one now. He said, how come you don't know it? But I took Billy Akoni to tell you now. He said, Billy Akoni. He didn't come to my house. He didn't. Billy, you didn't come to his house. I did, sir. And then you now see the picture of the day a friend of yours came and said, where are you coming from? Billy Akoni came to town. He was teaching on this and this and this and that. I just say, that man, I don't like him. And you dismiss the truth that God sent through him. He didn't come personally, you understand? But he sent somebody. Somebody went to his meeting and came to your house. And that's how the Holy Spirit works. And he said to you, where are you coming from? You said to him, where are you coming from? I'm coming from this place, and these are the things that are said. And I said, let me listen to the message. Like, give me one of the books. Let me just go through it. And you won't learn that. You don't learn that there's a part of ministry you will never be effective in. It's not like I don't listen to white preachers. I don't listen to people who shout. The man talks too slowly for me. Please, these are infirmities you must overcome. Personally, I don't like who talk too slowly. It's true that I don't like those who talk too slowly. But I listened to every message of the Red Prince I could lay my hands on. He talks slowly, but he talks sense slowly. If he's talking too slowly, I play it fast. It's simple, you know. No, you just go to your Windows Media Player. You see, just exactly. There's 1.5, 2, 3. I go speed you up. There are people you listen to two or three times, say he's shouting so much. There's nothing he's saying. So that one is different. You know, there are people you listen, say, why is he shouting so much? You tune your ear. What is he saying? After a while, your ear won't buzz. You have not heard anything. I say, bro, I reserve my ear for those who are going to tell me something. But if you are shouting too loud and you are saying something, I reduce the volume. Talking too fast, you are saying something, we'll slow you down. Are you getting my point? No, that's just the way it is. One of my friends, Brother Sen, said he's very angry with white preachers right now. I said, but this man has a word of healing. Let's hear him. He's white, I know. We'll still hear him. Please, my emphasis today is that a preacher is first of all a student. And there's nothing like I'm too busy. Busy, look, you shouldn't be too busy. You shouldn't be too busy. You should make time out, you know. I know I'm digressing a bit, but you know, like this, look, people call me and say, this is the reason why I can't come and all of that. I say, wait. Just make the time out ahead of time. If you carve out that time, you start planning things around it. Do you get what I explain? And that's why a lot of people are able to come, not because they don't have anything they are doing, because they have carved out the time. In the same manner as a preacher, I say, I don't have time to read. No, I have to do this, I have to do that. You have to do this because you decided to do them. I hope you know that being a pastor is not the same thing as being an administrator. Yeah. It's not. Anybody can administer your church. Anybody. Once he's an honest believer, he's good enough. Employ him. A lot of people say they are in ministry. Welcome to ministry. Some are in baptizing ministry, naming ministry, funeral ministry, wedding ministry. I say, yeah, ministry. Oh, fine. So today, what are you doing? We are doing naming. Tomorrow, what are you doing? It's funeral. The following day, what is it? It is wedding. What is he doing? We are having every day. He's not in the preaching ministry. Those are deacon jobs. Miles Morales was the first one to explain this to me. That's the job of deacons, not the job of pastors. Our churches are poorly run these days. That's not the job for deacons. You are going for naming. You are going for this. You are going to say, as a partner, lie. You should have elders in church that do such things. Trust Bishop Oyedepo. Which name you see? You find Bishop Oyedepo as a name. Maybe you're born under Jesus Christ, maybe. But you're born normal human being. I'm not sure if Baba could get that kind of time these days. But naming is there going on. No, really, as a pastor, there are things you just tell yourself, you know they do. That if you are too busy. I'm not doing. Like, there's one little rule I have in Kingdom World Ministries. I don't know you, I don't counsel you. If I please, sir, I want to ask you a question. In fact, it's always very funny. People say, hey, good afternoon, sir. Please, I want to ask you a question. I say, eh? Who are you? I just say, hey, Inka, Israel, come. Do you know this person? They go, look, no, sir. I said, I'm not going to answer your question. We'll be laughing, though, but I'm not going to answer you. Hey, please. I said, I don't know you. I'm not going to answer. Hey, Inka, answer him, answer him. If you don't have an answer for him, ask me later, okay? And as I push Inka in your direction, and I walk in the other direction. You think, is this guy serious? Believe me, I'm serious. Many people that I get to talk to, and I say, please, sir. There's some guy, I say, have you read this book? No. They have it there. Go and read it. When you finish reading, they will come back. 8 times out of 10, they don't come back. They will tell me, I've read the book. I don't have to talk to you anymore. One young man came to see me once. He came all the way from somewhere in Kogi State. He had listened to me so much. So, I said, good afternoon, sir. Sir, I have read all your books. Sir, I have listened to all your messages on your website. I've listened to you for the last 7 years, sir. He finished, he said, so, sir, you can answer me. He knew me so well. He knew I wasn't going to talk to him. He first introduced himself that there's nothing you have said I haven't heard. And now I have a question. He said, sit down. You're my guy. When he sat down, the first thing he told me is that, wait, you will talk to me. I know you will talk to me because I have listened. Yes. Because what I tell people is that, why should I preach a message I preach to the whole world? I will not preach it to only you. What do you think you are? My God? You're not my God. I shouldn't give you that kind of attention. I have preached something to everybody. I will not start explaining to only you. When the woman says, sir, I need to talk to you, sir. I said, me? Talk to me. Yes, sir. You know, there are many issues. I said, shh, behave yourself. See, we're downstairs in that building. Saturday, I talk to everybody. Tuesday, I talk to everybody. You want to talk to me? Join the congregation. Don't stop wasting my time. That's why D.T. Jakes wrote Woman Thou Art Lost. He said, if counseling everybody... What I'm talking about this is that I don't waste my time counseling people. You come for counseling, I'm not talking to you. I will not talk to you. One boy came all the way from Osaka one day. He begged. I refused. I was looking at him like this. Please, sir. Reza Meka, talk to him. If you have any question, you ask me. He traveled down. He was there. I just carried my bag and I left. Because if I start preaching to every stranger that shows up, all I will do that is in the whole day. You know that's what wanted to kill Moses. Go and listen to my series, The Survivor and the Death of Moses. I said, no, I'm not going to talk to you. I'm sorry. It's my response all the time. If you like, cry. Hey, sir, I have problems. I say, I'm sure Israel and Yinka can solve it. As I'm telling you like that, I face somebody else. Who do I say you don't talk to anybody? No, I do. Like you've gotten my point. I only talk to those who have learned the things I've said to everybody. And beyond that, they still have a question. And then we talk. That has limited the things I have to do. That's my advice to preachers. It's not everything you get involved in. A little bad name is not bad for you. What I mean? Don't mind him. He doesn't come for weddings. It's good for you. Don't mind him. If you invite him for every party, no good come. That's not the kind of bad name that God says you shouldn't have. Your bad name shouldn't that you steal. They catch you in secret places with strange people.
You don't join PDP and you are now swearing oaths. That's the kind of name that's bad for you as a Christian. But that you decided to free your time as a preacher now, specifically, so that in the midst of all the activities you are involved in, you are still learning. And these days, no, technology has made life easy. Technology has made life extreme. In fact, one of my friends, they sell materials on SD cards, those tiny SD cards of phones. He was telling me that what they just do is that you can pack messages into it, and that's it. Put in a card, label it. You buy the card, put it into your phone. That's it. That's how he packages materials now. Just sell it on SD cards. Just carry it, copy it onto cards, then label it. Those tiny cards, 2 gig cards, they are not expensive. 2 gig can pack material. So that why do they use SD cards? So that you just open your phone, slide it in, clip. That's it. Everything is there. Technology makes it easy. A lot of us drive around. That's all your car stereo is for. It's not for the bench. It's not for Two-Face. Even Don Moen has a queue. He has to join the queue behind serious preaching. God has given us so much technology. A preacher shouldn't be ignorant. These days, you see, preachers think that I wear a very nice suit, it makes me a good preacher. You open your mouth, your suit inside your tongue is bad. It's tattered, it's torn, it's not working well. They didn't sew it properly. That's the suit inside the mouth. But you have a good suit on the body. Once he opens the mouth like this, the tie is not well knotted. You just see all the seams of the jacket. That is, ignorance is, And that's one of the things I find these days. Let me just drop this. I will begin to round up what I'm saying. Is people don't balance the word well because they don't know it. Let me say it again. They get swayed. One of the ones I found recently is, one day I was with some people, they were talking about how one man of God, some of us who are very aware of these things, you know, the person, he preached one powerful sermon and everybody was moved. My God! Then they started changing their ministries to feed that sermon. And that sermon was a fat lie, scripturally speaking. I heard them discussing it. Oh, the man said that you will start having broken homes if your father was a slave trader because it's a spirit soul. You need to look. And people were saying, my God, my God. It's their analysis. One man, my wife and I love listening to. One day he showed up in town. I was disappointed. I wanted to go and tell him, bros, you don't join them too. You won't go far like this. People do those things because of ignorance. That's what I want to make. It's ignorance. That's why I'm talking about it. Because you don't know. I'm talking about being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Any new thing that comes to town. There's a pastor down my street now. In the last few weeks, I've been hearing him shout, die, 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 die. I said, why? He's looking for congregation. And since MFM and Father and Baka are dying, dying people everywhere, and they are gathering large people, maybe you think that is the new move. I'm bringing an issue here. If you don't have understanding yourself, you find it difficult to balance new doctrines that come to town. You join the bandwagon. The only defense about this thing, that's from all these confusions or soul, is understanding. What did I call it? Understanding. Understanding. For you to have understanding, and this thing doesn't just show up by itself. What's my preaching this morning? That we must be disciplined to first of all be disciples. That's why people don't come swaying you with testimonies. Some people don't even know that they are what they call familiar spirits. So somebody calls GSM number, you are surprised, you are impressed. Who? My God, the man just called GSM number. At the end of the day, there'll not be money take and collect. You understand what I'm saying? And Christians are moved. Preachers are moved. That's the one that's surprised. Preachers are moved because, you know, sometimes, there's something Kenneth Hagin said in his book. What's the name of this book now? Well, many of his books, he said it, especially Triumphant Church. Talking about deliverance ministry, which is still popular in Nigeria till today. He said that, look, that when he sees some of these things, he laughs. That people think it's new. That's not new. That they come every 20 years. Yes, Kenneth Hagin said that, like, it's a cycle. That every 20, that they will soon wear out. Then after people are tired of them, people will forget. Then somebody will discover it again. Then they start again. That is every 20 years. That he also did it as a small boy, as a young preacher. So we did loosening meetings, deliverance meetings, setting free meetings, getting free meetings. you know, breaking the bondage meetings. That we did, they lay hands, did that. It's after a while, they realize that this is not the will of God, it's not the word of God. And people want to queue up to make those mistakes again. There's a popular saying that those who don't know history, in them, history repeats itself. Young preachers, there are mistakes they shouldn't be making. People made them beforehand. I say it all the time, the gospel of Solomon is that I have made all the mistakes for you people, don't make it. That's Ecclesiastes. You want to get drunk? Guy, please, don't bother. I have drank on your behalf. That's what Solomon said. You want to chase many women? Don't bother. I have done it for you. And I'm telling you, it is what? Vanity. I want to be acquiring property. Why are you bothering? I have done it. Go and check. I built houses until I couldn't count the houses. I was building like something, like my people would say, like birds. Build on this tree, nest everywhere. I found out that it is what? Vanity. Somebody told me that Gio Oduyemi, I was at the meeting that Don Odunze, that's the original Don Odunze, not his son, was preaching. That shortly before he died too. He said that before Oduyemi died, he went to see him one day in Lagos. He took him to his car garage. Like, I think it's underground or somewhere. You see cars, you know the kind of cars that when you see, you will worship, say, Father God, hallelujah, praise be to Jesus, amen. You know, those kind of things. Said the man pointed, some of them knew, never driven them, they're just there. Said the man pointed and they say, see all of these things? They are nothing. They are vanity. He died a few days after that. And, I mean, these things have been recorded. We don't seem to have learned. Are you getting my point? Listen, the only way these mistakes will not repeat themselves in your life as a preacher is that you read. Is that you do what? You read. And that's what I'm emphasizing. Let me say it again. The preacher is first and foremost a what? A student. Ministry is not something. I was saying before that that's one of the advantage we had. Because when we started studying the word of God, we're not even planning to preach. It was just the in thing. It was the vogue thing that time when we were in school. You know, like, if you read this book? Hey, you don't read this book? So, all new rev. So, we studied just to know things. Nobody was giving you a platform. You are not planning to pastor a church. Nothing. You just had to know things. And it's a culture we must have to. I meet preachers a lot of times. In fact, one example I give is that I was a resident doctor in Luth. I went to Ado-Ekiti. One big minister was coming to town to come and do an evangelistic crusade, so he sent some men ahead. So I was explaining, I was discussing with those men. They were older than me in age. We were discussing, I was telling them stories. And this was what happened in their mouth. Are you serious? Hey! Eh? And I was looking at the thought that everything I said they had not heard before. I would mention a name, they hadn't heard it before. I would describe something that happened, they hadn't heard it before. And I said, you people are full-time preachers. Then what do you do? Running up and down. You know, cram how you hear somebody else pray. Come and repeat the prayer. There are those, that's what they do. They watch TV, say, hey, man, see the way Bishop Oyedepo is moving. They are cramming the movement. They cram the way it lasts. I said, poverty is not my portion. They won't learn how to pronounce poverty. I've seen preachers that squeeze their, you know, there's influence. You watch somebody so much, exactly, you do it unconsciously. But there are those who just, they go there. When does he move? When does he drop his microphone? When does he pull it up? And then they squeeze their eyes like Bishop. Bishop's eyes is not because he drank anything. That's just the way his eyes are. He's just like that. And it has nothing to do with his anointing. You don't have to squeeze your eyes like him. No. Please, though, I think I've said about everything I have to say. The preacher is first of all what? A disciple. Is first of all a student. Is first of all a learner. Don't forget this. Every big, in quote now, big, not as in popularity, but the fact that they have message for everybody. Every one of them, those teachers, have something that is supposed to be part of your life. Let me add this one to it. Just by the way, I've talked about studying the word of God, but let me just add this one to it. You must also be informed generally. It's part of effective ministry. Can you imagine the embarrassment I have a lot of times when I see testimonies? There's testimonies delivered from Staphylococcus. You know, I'm embarrassed. Because I'm a doctor. And I know there's no disease so-called. And a big ministry will print it first page. Delivered from Staphylococcus. You know, you want to hide that. Are you a Christian? No, I don't know him. You know, that kind of Peter's kind of denial. It's an embarrassment because there's no disease so-called. It's a hype developed by herbal medicine people to sell their herbs. One day I went to preach somewhere. I went to attend a wedding. One of my doctors was getting married. So I went to their village somewhere in Suka area. So one guy now saw me. He was so happy to see me. So he came to greet me. At the end of the night, he wants to ask me some questions. He said, whether I can come and see me. I said, what's the problem? He says, medical issue. He said, he has Staphylococcus. I laughed. So, you know, it was one of my doctors getting one of my residents. So another one was sitting behind me. I just said, Dr. Zigwe, come. So that one came. Yeah, yes, sir. I said, is there any disease because of Staphylococcus? He said, no, sir. I said, thank you. You can go. So the boy was sitting on my right side. He said, but sir, they did test. I said, what's the problem here? Sometimes he describes some things. I said, Dr. Zigwe, I said, yes, sir. I said, when do people have this kind of problem? He said, when they are worried. I said, thank you. No problem. He will sit down again. Did you hear that? he will describe another thing. I'll call that guy. I said, Dr. Zigwe, please come. Then I'll repeat everything he said to me to the other guy. And I said, no, there's nothing like that, sir. I said, thank you. He said, they bought the conscious of local cause. I said, Dr. Zigwe, I'll call him again. Can I conscious of local from any place? He said, yes, sir. You can cause them from skin, from nose. And it doesn't mean I'm sick. He said, no, it doesn't mean you're sick, sir. I said, thank you very much. I said, I hope you're hearing all these things. I said, oh boy, there is nothing wrong with you. Do you get what I'm going to explain? Yeah, they have told him that he's going to have the kind of problem he's going to have in life. Those people, they know how to scare you. They say he will have weak erection and he will not be able to impregnate his wife when he marries. I said, laughing. One day, one guy told me, he said, his affair is already half me. I said, who helped you measure it? He got my point. I said, get away from here, my friend. One day, he said, please, as preachers, you should be informed. You must know what's going on in the world. Sometimes I hear preachers write on medical issues. As to prove doctrine, please, if you don't know it, don't embarrass the rest of us. If you have a question, call somebody who's enlightened in that area and ask him. A preacher must be informed. You must be informed. You can't don't know what is going on around. And they make it look like preaching is a cult of ignorant people who deceive themselves. They don't know who's the president of America. No. As a preacher, we should be fully informed. We don't understand how to interpret the word of God in the light of the things that are going on. People are looking for answers. They have confusion. And they come to the preacher, they want to know. And what am I saying today? The preacher must have understanding. He can't afford. You're not there to perform. Your performance is just for yourself. You go and cram out to speak smooth English. Know when to raise your voice and drop it. That's not what ministry is. Ministry is that you have something that you want to put into people's lives. And the only way you can have it is to constantly fill your own heart with it. I think I've said everything I have to say to us this morning. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you learned anything, say amen. Most importantly now, we take questions. Specifically, please, questions. We're not asking for contributions now. Just question. If you have any question, anything you want to ask, please go ahead and ask. Then we'll now start responding and discussing based upon that before we go to the next subject.